Hello and good afternoon. Welcome to today's edition of Through Science to Health with Dick Keenan. I'm filling in for Chris Bricker today. And my co-host is Kathleen Keenan, who retired from a 20-year career as a communicable disease investigator for San Diego County Public Health. Kate is also a member of KPTZ's Virus Watch and Emergency Response Teams. Every month, we bring you discussion and updates of the pandemic and then review some of the insights and discovery surrounding COVID-19. Welcome, Kate, to the show.
Hi.
Today, we're going to resurrect this segment as the pandemic continues to affect our lives. So the bigger picture is that the virus continues to pose a threat to our collective health, 18 months after the first reported cases in our state, and still poses a threat. I've heard you say to consider the Delta variant as a whole new threat. Why is that?
Well, you know, when a lot of folks, once they became vaccinated, thought life could return to normalcy. And in fact, many of us, you know, took off our masks if we were vaccinated and enjoyed this, you know, return to some normalcy. But recent high circulation of the virus provided more chances for the virus to mutate. And thus we have the Delta, which is much more easily spread. And I believe that is a game changer. You know, viruses mutate constantly, and most of those mutations, in my experience of viral pandemics in the past, that it makes it less likely to survive. And but this virus has produced variants that are worse than the last, and we've had several, which, in my opinion, is an unusual pattern, barely giving us time sort of to adjust our interventions and throwing us a loop. Thus, we find ourselves sort of returning to a very simple intervention, which is returning to wearing masks in indoor settings primarily, although there is the recommendation that if you cannot keep a social distance of 6 feet, you wear it at outdoor events as well. And this is all in an effort to stop community spread and basically not overwhelm our hospitals, which do not have the capacity to have loads of people be very ill, very much like we saw in the beginning of the pandemic. Our current case rate here in Jefferson County stands at 263 cases per 100,000. It's never been that high. So the fourth wave for us is worse than all the others. And to give you an idea of a measurement, community control is deemed to be at least 25 cases or less per 100,000. And that's with the original SARS-CoV-2. It could very well be lower to get community control under control, community spread under control, if this is much more transmissible. We just haven't heard anything in the literature about that. So it's made all the wrong mutations, which is unusual, and it keeps getting worse. This is a game changer.
So does this make you wonder how effective the vaccine is against the Delta mutation?
Not really, because I believe it's a very effective and safe vaccine. We still know that the vaccine is highly protective against landing you in the hospital and dying. But we have discovered recently that the current vaccines are slightly less effective at preventing, once you've been exposed to this infectious strain, getting infected, and a little more progression to symptomatic disease. So this is why we are seeing some vaccinated people get the COVID infection. And remember, the purpose of a vaccine is not necessarily to prevent an infection. It's to prevent progression to disease, hospitalization, being on being on a ventilator and dying. So many of us in the field expect people to get infections, even those with a vaccine. It's just that this particular mutation is highly infectious and spreads much easier.
Hey, what about the additional shots the CDC is recommending?
Right. That's one of the things that came out this last month. And so this pandemic clearly is a work in progress for everyone, including public health professionals, medical and government officials. We know that vaccines can stimulate an immune response. But basically, we're actively watching how long this protection lasts against the mutations that arise when we have not been able to adequately suppress circulation. Now, we know that natural infection does provide some immunity, but not very long. It's about 3 months, and then it wanes, and you possibly could get infected again. But you risk severe disease, death, and the sequela or the after effect of having an infection, which is called long COVID. A lot of neurological, constitutional symptoms that can last quite a while and be very uncomfortable. Scientists are looking very carefully at what happens with antibody levels in highly vaccinated populations around the world. And Israel presented such a case and realized that the potential to offer a third shot could blunt fresh waves of hospitalizations in the face of the Delta variant. And so this is why the CDC officials have considered this as an option. And there's a lot of interesting comments about whether this is really a third shot or a booster. But I believe a booster mostly pertains to those who are immunocompromised, and when they got their vaccinations, they may not have developed high levels of what we call neutralizing antibodies. And I believe it's called the third shot for the rest of us. It primarily comes from this study that the third dose for many of us could up our odds of not becoming infected when we're exposed, and our immune system is sort of nudged again to quickly respond. So the more our immune system sees a pathogen, the better and faster it is at recalling how to fight it. It stops the production of many, many more copies of the virus, and ultimately has the effect on reducing our infectiousness. It's a side benefit. It's not the original purpose of a vaccine. And so the other side benefit is that it reduces community spread. And so the goal of the vaccine is basically to reduce sickness and death. And a relatively effective vaccine in the majority of the population has, you know, the unintended effect of reducing community spread by reducing infectiousness to others.
Is that third shot recommended? Is that a new formula?
No, not as far as I understand. It's the same as the original dose and the makeup of the original shot that you got. So you're just getting recurrent shots, essentially. Now, for the future, the additional doses that most likely will be rolled into our annual flu shot regimen will most likely be adjusted to the current circulating strain, just like we do for seasonal flu shots. It's basically an educated guess. And some flu vaccines are not as effective in 1 year as they are in the next, because viruses continue to mutate, and we're looking for what is most likely to land on our shores 6 to 10 months ahead of when they actually have to make the vaccine.
You know, I'm noticing that you just mentioned a little while ago that the vaccines only provide protection for about 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And so that doesn't seem like a very long time. Do all of us have to be then considering getting another shot after 3 months or so of our original vaccination?
Well, let's make a distinction between antibody development and protection from natural infection, I'm still in the first page. Okay. Natural infection, you jumped ahead. Right. Natural infection and that which is provided by getting the vaccination. Natural experience with the virus itself is about 3 months. Vaccination, if you are fully vaccinated, two shots with Pfizer, two shots with Moderna, one shot with Johnson & Johnson, is it's so far 8 to 9 months, because this is all brand new. We don't know if it's going to last longer than that. But because of this new Delta strain, the infectiousness, it has lessened the protection of that original vaccine. And the only problem is that people are actually getting infected and progressing towards disease. We want to reduce that, and this third shot seems to be effective at doing that. It's like the more you do something, the more your body can quickly respond. It's like learning to juggle. At first, you don't get it. But the more you practice, the more your reflexes respond to the training. And that's essentially what we're trying to do with vaccination. It does not give you the infection. It can't, because it doesn't attain anything that actually infects you. It's just a piece of the genetic makeup of the spike protein. And either it's in a mRNA or it's in an attenuated virus platform with the three vaccines that we have. So that's the idea here. The more practice you get, the more likely it is it responds very quickly. And that reduces infectiousness, reduces community spread, reduces the chance to produce a more virulent mutation.
Okay. And so I'm missing out on the word when you say practice. The more practice we get, does that mean the more vaccinations we get?
No, it's a reaction. It stimulates your body to jump into gear and go, oh, I've seen this foreign piece of material before. I know exactly what to do now.
Oh, okay.
And, of course, what you're looking for in any vaccine is the development of the neutralizing antibody, and the more you stimulate that, whether through natural infection or from an additional dose, you're getting that memory put in place. It's a memory track, I think of it as, for your body to shift into gear really, really quickly and stop the replication of the virus in its tracks.
So I've been thinking, I originally contracted the virus back in August of 2020. And then eventually I was negative, and I got a vaccination. And lately, I've been thinking, gosh, should I be going out, considering that there's rising cases in this county? Or should I be staying out of circulation more and staying home more?
Well, I think it's a really good question. You know, if you listen to the Monday morning public health and emergency management updates, you know that we are being cautioned again to wear masks, to reduce our time indoors in closed environments, and just so that we don't meet it in some way. And so, you know, certainly being vaccinated provides it provides protection, as well as wearing a mask when you're indoors, so that if you're infected, you don't pass it on to somebody else, and conducting as many outdoor activities as possible ups your protection if you can stay physically distanced. Otherwise, in big crowds, wear a mask. Otherwise, it comes down to a question of what is your risk tolerance that all of us have had to face through this pandemic. Dr. Barry, our public health officer, advises us to sort of layer our risk taking. In other words, do things that put us in situations where there's the least likely possibility of lots of community spread. You shop early in the morning. The store has been closed overnight. There's not that many people in the store. You can still continue to get your groceries online. You can do a lot of our businesses still have takeout services. You don't actually have to go into the location. What we're talking about is you know, reducing our movement about the community. It's a pain, but it may protect us from, you know, getting the virus, which is what you want to avoid in the first place. But you have to decide that personally. It's the same process we went through at the beginning of this pandemic. And yes, we have made progress, and we all know how to do this, even though we spent a summer without masks outdoors and eating in inside restaurants, which many of us love, going to the movies and things like that. But the Delta variant that we're, you know, that's circulating right now has simply changed all of this, and there's nothing that we can really do about it except go back to what we know works for our community and what level of risk we want to take individually. I know, you know, we as a family, you're facing surgery for an aortic aneurysm, and so our plan is to really stay out of circulation 10 to 14 days before you have your surgery scheduled so that we don't miss any chance of getting that surgery.
Right.
And so it all depends on what your personal risk is and what chances you're willing to take. So there you have it.
So you often cite human behavior as the most difficult part of your public health work. You have often related poignant stories of clients when they are faced with various infectious diseases and how they cope. So what stands out to you about this pandemic?
Well, I would ask you the same as a social worker. I mean, you're working with
a human, social worker.
Yeah, that's what you are. You and I both know that this is, that human behavior is the most difficult process to change.
Right.
And I remember a professor in my graduate program in public health telling us that no matter what disease or condition that we're faced with, the human behavior in response to that threat would be the most difficult to manage, if that was even possible. He said it's very hard to push a heavy ball uphill, so he said, don't try. He said there are other types of interventions and things that can be done. And he said really the most important thing is to listen. I really learned to listen to my clients' concerns and ferret out what would keep them from following our recommendations. And in most cases, when their concerns are supported, they do the right thing for themselves and their family and ultimately their community.
Was there more you wanted to say?
Well,
very close.
Yeah.
But you have about 30 seconds.
Lots of progress so far. An effective vaccine, adequate supply, new treatments. Often we need to get the treatment early in the course of infection. Plenty of surgical masks, etc. But keep listening to our public health update next Monday. There is no update because it's the fifth Monday of the month. No session. The following Monday is a holiday. So the public health update will take place on Tuesday, September 7th, with our public health officer and Willie Bentz, our director of emergency management, at 9:45.
Well, thank you for joining us for our monthly edition of Through Science to Health. Thank you very much, Kate. And saying goodbye until next time, be caring, be safe.